محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. يا أبا عبد الله، لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجان، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي، لقد عظم مصابي بك. فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة، يا أبا عبد الله إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالاة وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة. وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم. وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبة مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشوراء يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زيادهم وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم لعن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمر وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد ما صل على محمد وآل محمد. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. Under a leader Khamenei, forward we march to victory. Under a leader Khamenei, forward we march to victory. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We're in this war, for if we're slain, we'll join the martyrs with Hussein. We're in this war, for if we're slain, we'll join the martyrs with Hussein. And if we live, that we shall wait to join the army of Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We are the lovers of Hussein, martyrdom we seek to gain. We are the lovers of Hussein, martyrdom we seek to gain. In Karbala is our history, our future lies with the Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. Under leader Khamenei, forward we march to victory. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. Courage, faith, and certainty is the path of Al-Khomeini. Courage, faith, and certainty is the path of Al-Khomeini. We are taking this journey to be in the ranks of Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. Wake up, O gallant Muslim youth, come forward and defend the truth. Wake up, O gallant Muslim youth, come forward and defend the truth. How Akbar took the spear for truth, take the spear for Imam Mahdi. We are marching ahead in unity from Karbala to Imam Mahdi. Under a leader Khamenei, forward we march to victory. Salawat.
Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. We offer condolences to the Imam of our time, ajalallahu ta'ala farajah sharif, in these days of mourning for his beloved family and his grandfather, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. This week we will have our weekly Dua Kumail session on Thursday and our main session on Saturday. Please note that both programs will start at 8:15 p.m. The Thursday program will be live stream only, while the Saturday program will be in this drive-in format. If you would like to listen to the speech in your car, please tune your radio to 90.5 FM to listen in. As a reminder, all our guests are required to abide by the following guidelines for our drive-in sessions. Please observe 6 feet physical distance and wear a face mask outside your car at all times. If you would like to leave your car for the speech or latmiya, please stay on the X's marked on the ground. Please be sure to park your vehicle in the spots marked on the ground. Please do not bring any food items for distribution from home. Packaged tabaruk and drinks will be provided at the center following health guidelines. If you would like to sponsor a program, we have openings available. Please speak to a volunteer at the donation table if you would like to sign up. Do not litter the parking lot. Use the trash bins placed at the entrance. We also have a sanitizing station at the entrance for your convenience. The indoor facility will be limited to bathroom use only on an individual basis. And lastly, please follow all volunteer instructions. For those who would like to tune into these sessions remotely, our live streams can be found on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram Live at Al Walaya Everywhere. If you would like to be notified in advance of our latest programming, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter by giving your email address to a volunteer, and like and follow Al Walaya on the aforementioned social media platforms. Please recite a Fatiha for the Shuhada of Islam, the marhumin named on our memorial plaque, and for all marhumin. With that, I would like to invite Hujjat al-Islam Sheikh Hamza Sodagar to deliver his message. Salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Sallallahu alayk ya Aba Muhammad ya Ali ibn al-Husayn ya Zain al-Abidin Ruhi fadaka ya Mawla. We express our condolences on the occasion of the Shahada of Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin wa Sayyid al-Sajidin Salamullah wa Salawatuhu alayh. One of the areas that we need to be reminded of when remembering Imam Zain al-Abidin on his Shahada is the matter of his existence, his life as an Imam after the event of Karbala and in the form of his struggle against the Taghut and his struggle for establishing Islam, his struggle for establishing the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the principles that people abide by and people govern themselves based on under the guidance of someone who knows those guidelines. This is what is meant by Islamic government. This is what the Imam of our time is going to be establishing, giving knowledge, insight, understanding, clarification, stopping those who use deceptive language to deceive people, make them think wrong things are good and good things are bad, stop those individuals and allow the people to understand and realize what's truly good for them in this life and in the hereafter, for them to collectively want that and to govern themselves based on that. The imam will be the guide under whom they will accomplish that. This is very important for us to understand with those details, and I hope the details are not left out when we understand. Many times the way we present it, the way it's mentioned, it sounds a little different than this. This was very carefully put, these words from the ahadith that we have in the verses that we have. This is generally the task of the imams. The imams are leading mankind towards Allah, helping them want to govern their own personal lives, family lives, collective lives in the form of government, based on God's laws. This is what they're leading mankind towards. What was Imam Zain al-Abidin's task in the conditions that he had, that he was in? We have clarified over and over and mentioned that he is fighting the taghut and he is trying to remove those injustices and establish this form of governance that we talked about, where there's no injustice occurring on all these different levels. What we want to talk about a little bit, remind, clarify, make us remember, make us understand, is what he did for that purpose, what he did to accomplish that. The methods used by the imams to move towards establishing the government of the Ahlul Bayt on a global scale, those methods are important for us to observe, to learn from, and see and realize that in our times, if we are working towards establishing the government of the imam of our time on the face of the globe, and he's working in that direction, when we look at the methods used by previous imams, we will learn what the methods of the 12th imam are. And we will learn what our responsibility is today, what we need to do. The goal is remove dhulm, remove injustice, remove aggression in all the various forms of it, and establish justice, knowledge, understanding. What's the method? How do we do this? There are many people that understand today that all the man-made ideologies that promised prosperity, promised social justice, promised healthcare for all, education for all, wealth for all, distributed in a way where everyone is living comfortably, all these ideologies have failed. All these ideologies were failures. The ideology was a failure, not the people who implemented them. With those ideologies and beliefs, there is no way to establish social justice. There isn't a way to provide and to distribute resources to everyone in terms of education, in terms of wealth, in terms of natural resources, the availability of the necessary resources and the availability of opportunity for those who are more capable to use some of those resources in a way that will benefit others and themselves, for it to be available to them and for them to be able to use that. It's just not possible with these ideologies. And you can see it. They have had the world to themselves. Socialism had the world, half the world to itself. It collapsed. The Soviet Union was the symbol, was the climax, was the peak of it, in the sense that they were the ones that were pushing for that idea. But the problem is that ideology is such that it just can't come together. Even when there was the Soviet Union, those ideals that were spoken of, that were mentioned, Karl Marx thought of and presented that this is the way that we can reach social justice. Those were so wrong that even when there was a government that wanted to implement them, it was not possible even to implement them. It was never implemented as it was written by Karl Marx. Never. Nowhere in the world. It's just impossible. There is no, it can't, it's wrong. That is not justice. Removing private property, making all property to be public, is wrong. Besides it being impractical and not possible to implement, it's wrong even if you could implement it the same way that capitalism, although it's being implemented, it's wrong. Capitalism, after getting rid of socialism, has had the entire world to itself, pretty much, except for a new movement, which is the movement of Islam. And besides that, the rest of the world, it's been all theirs. In their homeland, which this is, again, the land of liberal democracy, capitalism, it doesn't get any better for those who consider it good than this. Capitalism is best implemented in the United States of America. Even in the homeland, in the center of it, we see that plenty of problems. Where is social justice? If it was something that for a couple of decades, because you know there were the civil rights movements in the 60s, you had serious riots, there's no social justice. A couple of decades, it boiled down, things were done, measures were taken to pacify people and to make them think there is some level of social justice. And after those couple of decades, then you see one after the other, whether it's Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, or it's the movements against racism, people are experiencing social injustice on an institutional level. People are seeing it as much as they try to disguise it. There isn't. And then outside of those borders, then they have ruined the rest of the world to bring this somewhat of a apparently prosperous society where people have access to resources. They destroyed the world for that. South of the border, ruins, even U.S. territories. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. What is it now? It's big. Where is this social justice? It's clear, it's evident. The problem is ideology. This belief system, this ideology, these measures can never lead to social justice, to a peaceful coexistence. Peaceful coexistence, when it says said by them, it's the Israeli version. What's the peaceful coexistence of Israelis with Palestinians? Whenever we decide that you leave your land, you leave peacefully. That's what peaceful coexistence means. And whenever we tell you to go into the sea and die, you go and die peacefully. That's peaceful coexistence, where eventually one's existence no longer exists. That's peaceful coexistence to them. And they've shown it. They are showing it right now. This is their idea of peaceful coexistence. Everybody knows that we need to move towards a system. Everybody understands and realizes we need to have a system that is functional and that establishes real justice for all. Islam is that solution. Others are thinking of solutions. We as Muslimin, first and foremost, need to learn from Islam, from the Quran, that the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt have the solution. They are the solution. They have presented that solution. It's available to us. We need to follow it. This is first and foremost. Then comes, okay, if this is what we need to implement, how do we get to where it is implemented? How do we move towards establishing this as the law of the land? How do we move towards our politicians, our rulers, ruling based on these rules, based on these principles? How do we move in that direction? Do we follow the path of the communist movement? Look at what they call the communist revolution. Very bloody revolution. The French Revolution, supposedly for democracy. Very bloody revolution. And in the end, after a couple of decades perhaps, it was clear that although government changed form from a monarchy to where there are elections, there was still no real democracy. Democracy is where the government is supposed to be governing for the people, and the governance is by the people, for the people. Where is the French government, ever since that revolution, been by the people, for the people, up to today? It's been over a year, I believe, now. Every Saturday, people gather in Paris to protest the injustice of the government. These are French people that do not know of Islam's solution for them. All they know is that they are fed up with this system that's called democracy, but they don't have any rights and they're supposed to be okay with it. While the French government loots the rest of the world and earns all these big bucks, and certain people of the elite do that, and the rest of the people get nothing. Do we use the bloody methods of the communist revolution or the French revolution or the American revolution that again did nothing to establish? They separated from the monarchy of Britain. Great, that's great. But what did you establish instead of it? Did the average person who participated in the revolution, the families of those who shed blood, they had their sons, their fathers die in the revolution, kicking out the British forces to establish their own government. Did those families taste justice afterwards? You can read for yourself. What I read is they didn't. They didn't. What's the method? How do you move towards that? We have got to, generally, towards all of the Ahlul Bayt, we've got to go to the Ahlul Bayt, look at their behavior, look at their conduct, look at what they did from this perspective. Since they were all trying to move in this direction, what was their method? Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi has a certain method that he implements in his time. He lays a foundation. He lays a foundation. Imam al-Baqir, based on that foundation, starts to move up the next levels, the next steps. And Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi moved further But some of those who were involved didn't fulfill, and that's an important thing about the method, an important point about the method. Inshallah, if we have, or when we have programs for Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh, we should cover this. Why is it that we say, although the Imams move forward, they use their method to move in the direction of removing the unjust system and establishing the just system, and they did their share, right? But then we say that the people that were involved didn't do their share, and therefore it didn't happen, and therefore it was postponed, as the hadith says. It has to do with the method, but when we talk about Imam al-Sadiq, we'll talk about his method in those conditions. The differences in the methods, we call them methods, but it's really tactics or strategies depending on conditions. In order to understand this, I hope I've brought us to where we understand what the topic is. Now, I don't have too much time. I want to very briefly present this idea, and then for the details of it, you can think and try to search what you already know of Imam Zain al-Abidin's time, perhaps read more about it and try to find the details of this. There's two things we need to look at. One is the conditions and the circumstances. The other is, okay, in those circumstances, what did Imam Zain al-Abidin do? What was his method? What was his tactic or his strategy? The condition that Imam Zain al-Abidin was in was in ways similar to the condition of the Prophet. In the sense that when the Prophet came and he started his move, he started his revolution, there was nobody on the face of the earth except for Amir al-Mu'mineen and then Khadija that believed in him. Everybody else was either like, didn't know what this was, they've never heard of this, they've been raised with something else, some for 10 years, some for 15 years, depending on their age, some for 20 years. They've been raised with this pagan ideology, they don't understand what's going on, what is this, who is this, never heard of this. And then there are others who their livelihood depends on this corrupt system, the elite. Besides these three, there's no one. The Holy Prophet wants to establish a system where some of these people who are stepped over and have become the means for others to have prosperity, to have material gains, for them to have material gains and spiritual gains and all the aspects of human life taken care of. The Holy Prophet wants to move in this direction, but nobody's on board with him. Nobody is willing to listen to him. The Holy Prophet started building an army of people with ideology, getting them to accept an ideology, building it from principles, from the major and main principles up, starting with Tawheed as the basis of everything else, the main principle of Islam, Tawheed. Once they are convinced of that, they're on board with that, they understand it on a basic level, then start building on that, the next step, and the next step, and the next step. People gathering, numbers increased. There was still not a major population, there was still a minority in Mecca. He started spreading the word out, getting the word out, getting people in Arabia to know of this. Word got out even further. At Hajj season, where all the pagans would gather to do their idol worship around the Kaaba, the Holy Prophet was there discussing, talking, explaining with all the limitations to do what? To gather people, plant these seeds in people's minds, wait for it to start sprouting. Wait for these minds to start thinking. Some of them have fertile soil in their mind. They're fertile. Their minds are fertile for this thought. They start to develop this thought and they come on board. Those numbers increase to a certain figure. The conditions in Mecca got worse. The Prophet had pre-planned going to Medina. He's already got some supporters and followers over there. He's worked on them again from ground up. They have already pledged an allegiance to the Prophet in terms of going with his views, following his commands, even if it means giving life. They have come to this level of understanding. The Holy Prophet moves to Medina, and with these people on board, which some of them were the elite in Medina, they were the heads of the two major tribes in Medina. When they supported, the Holy Prophet established government, the majority followed, the majority accepted, the minority felt like they are outnumbered, they acted as though they accepted, but they never did, like Abdullah ibn Ubay is one of the munafiqeen of Medina. Why did he become a munafiq? Because he saw the majority is now with the Prophet, he feels left out, he feels like he doesn't have a place, he acts like he's a Muslim, but he never believed. So the Prophet did that in a short period of time. He used all the tactics and strategies that were necessary in order to establish that. The first one was this, gathering people, planting the seeds of ideology, and starting a foundation. And when the numbers grow, when more and more people are on board with this, an effective minority, then you can move towards establishing that system and getting rid of the system. Because the majority is always going to be following an effective minority. The majority are generally like wind. If you have a strong force pushing in a certain direction, then the rest of, or these middle, the people in the middle here, they end up going in that direction, like the wind is blowing them in a certain direction, they'll go. And then there are some heavy objects that don't go when the wind blows. It's about which one is stronger. Imam Zain al-Abidin has a similar condition. The condition is, after Karbala, there are those who believed in Ali ibn Abi Talib being a just ruler. There were those who liked the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. There were those who felt sympathy with the family of the Prophet. There were those who were sad that Imam al-Husayn was killed in that way. You have all these different people. But in terms of anyone that considers Imam Zainul Abidin to be the continuation, the continuation of the line of prophethood, that he is the leader, that we need to listen to him, that the objective is still to remove the Umayyads and to establish a government under the guidance of Imam Zain al-Abidin, that's not there. You don't have that. And therefore, we have the idea of irtadda al-nas. Again, it says people left Islam. What this means is not that they all became like the mushrikeen and in the basic level of the word mushrik. What it means is that people, a number of them, were moving in the direction of the Ahlul Bayt. A good number of people, not a majority, but a good number. It wasn't a couple or a few, it was a good number. 18,000 people pledged allegiance to Muslim ibn Aqil. They didn't come to Karbala, but that shows that these people were willing to be with this side. They were willing to support, but that will of theirs was not strong enough to stand when there's hardship, when there's difficulty. There was a will. It's like the people in the battle of Uhud with the Prophet. They listened to the Prophet, they went to the battle, but they didn't have a strong enough will to not leave that corner of the mountain where the Prophet said, stay here regardless of what happens. The archers left because they saw their brethren fighting over the rewards of the war. They left it. They wanted to follow the Prophet, but that will was not strong enough. And when they saw that others may get something that they may not, they may get a new sword, they may get a new shield, they may get a new horse, and they're going to be left without anything, that desire of the dunya made them leave their positions. There were people up to Karbala that were willing. After Karbala, the hadith says, irtadda an-nas, they changed. This is what the word irtidad means here. All those people that were willing to be with Hussein, now they changed course. They're not willing to be with Imam Zain al-Habidin. They're not willing to follow his leadership. They're not willing. They don't accept imamah that continues after the martyrdom of an imam. The next imam comes. They're not willing to accept that. And the rest of the instructions of the imam, they're not willing. Imam Zain al-Abidin is in these conditions. What does he have to do? He has to build an army of people. An army in what way? Do they go to the gym every day, work out, pump steel? Is that how they prepared? We've heard people say, oh, we need to be strong when the imam comes. I go to the gym, and I strongly doubt if that preparation is most of it for the imam of our time. They check out themselves in the mirror and they like the way that looks, and the objective becomes something else, but then the religious excuses, we're preparing for the imam of our time. The imam built an army based on ideology. He worked on building people from ground up again amongst Muslimin. These are Muslimin. The task at that point is in some ways easier, in some ways more difficult. In some ways it's easier to get some people to come because the words of the Ahlul Bayt, they appeal to a person who's already accepted the Qur'an. They hear Imam Zain al-Abidin's words, they hear his supplication, they hear his dua, and they're a little familiar with the Qur'an. They've heard people, and it appeals to them. It's different than people who are worshipping idols. And now the Prophet says these idols are nothing. La ilaha illallah. None of these are ilahs. None of these are gods. There's only one God. This person is more ready to accept the truth because he's already accepted the Qur'an. He already accepts the Prophet. But it's also more difficult in that presenting the truth and convincing people that this is the truth is more difficult when the alternative resembles the truth as well. When the alternative has got scholars that read the verses of the Quran as well. When the alternatives are using the hadith of the Prophet as well. And when the alternative has got access to power, to money. And if you follow that alternative, then you're going to be at ease. But if you follow this, you're going to be in difficulty. One of the ways that this was more difficult is that there's other reasons for it being more difficult. We have to understand that it was more difficult. The Holy Prophet took him 13 years. After 13 years, he established his government in one city. Imam al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Hussein worked for 20 years, then Karbala happened. Nothing happened. They didn't govern over any city. The idea was to govern over Kufa and then expand. Imam Zain al-Abidin, through Imam al-Sadiq, they worked for 70 years to establish it. It didn't happen. This is based on the hadith. I've mentioned the hadith a number of times. I don't want to repeat the hadith that gives us that timeline. For more than 70 years, for 80 years after Karbala, they planned for the year 140, the hadith says. Karbala occurred in the beginning of the year 61, so 80 years. They worked hard. The descendants of the Prophet, the methods are the methods of the Prophet, but the conditions are such that after 70, 80 years of work, it doesn't happen. Doesn't mean that they didn't make progress, but they weren't able to govern. That particular desired outcome did not happen. Even one city was not governed by the Ahlul Bayt after those many years. Then afterwards they tried for another timeline, and that didn't work either. Imam Zain al-Abidin is building followers that all think alike in terms of the goal, think alike in terms of the means, and particularly about leadership, who that leader is that they're going to be listening to in order to accomplish that. He's building an army of such people. This, brothers and sisters, is our task. In our areas, the conditions throughout the globe are different. Those who live in the Islamic Republic, well, that's already been established for the 12th Imam. That's already happened. The 12th Imam already rules over that part of the world. In some of the neighboring countries, similarly, the believers are strong, they have power, they have control and authority. It's not complete, they haven't completely taken control in their hands the way it is in the Islamic Republic, but they are strong enough for us to say that those lands are also under the control and authority of the Imam, because his followers are ruling it for him, governing it based on his orders and his commands over there. The conditions there are different. The conditions in Lebanon are different. The conditions in Syria are different. The conditions in Iraq are different. The conditions in Pakistan are different. Our conditions, brothers and sisters, is a condition that resembles that time. We have got a lot of people that are lost, confused. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. Some, based on misinformation, think what's bad for them is good for them. And many, many people have realized that status quo is hell on earth. We need to change it. But they don't know what to change it to. One day it's this, one day it's that. Various claims, various talking points. Yeah, we need to defund the police or do this or do that. Is that the solution? They know things need to change. Politicians take advantage of that. Elections are coming up. Like, oh, you want change? Vote for Joe Biden. Some people are going to end up going to the ballots and casting their vote because they're fed up with the situation and they have wrongly been convinced that voting for him is going to change the conditions. These are all out of desperation. We have a condition that in order to move towards the coming of the Imam of our time, we need to learn from Imam Zain al-Abidin in building an army for the Imam of our time. What type of army? Do we need arms? Do we need weapons? Do we need military training? Do we need physical training? Is that what it's about? No, it's not about that at all. It's ideological development. Add to the army of the Imam, even if you can add one person. Bring one person to join the army of the Imam. One person that comes to understand what Islam is, comes to understand who the Imam of our time is, comes to understand that we need to work towards the coming of our Imam, towards the goals of Islam, and that during his absence we need to listen to the representative of the Imam. Bring one person like that on board, you've increased the army of the Imam by one individual. And if each of us, assuming we're on board, I'm assuming we're on board, and I hope to God we're on board, I hope to God we are in that army. This is what Imam Zain al-Abidin did, and this is our task. This is our jihad. I don't know how to put this. I don't think we take this seriously. I don't believe that we are concerned about this. Why? Because I don't see any action. I don't see any activity in that direction. I don't see that. I don't think we're concerned, brothers and sisters. I don't think we think the Imam is coming. I don't think we seriously think we need to do something. Because if after 20, 30, 10, 5 years of listening to majalis about the 12th Imam, you're still coming to whatever speaker comes and speaks about the topic, what is our taklif in regards to preparation? Brother or sister, if you were serious about it, by now you should have figured it out. We're not serious. If we're serious, this wouldn't be our state of affairs. We don't have anyone working on increasing the army of the 12th Imam, adding numbers, building them from ground up. We don't have anybody. If anybody has come to Islam, it's on their own. And what version of Islam did they believe in? God knows. Because God knows what they get. They went to the internet and they found some material, read it. The translation they read of the Quran, is it accurate? I don't know. Which hadith did they come across? Is it Ka'b al-Ahbar's hadith, which is adding Jewish lies to Islam, Isra'iliyat to Islam? What version, what variation? People just reading on their own in prisons, becoming Muslim, they come out. Is there a strong foundation there? They're doing it on their own. We're not doing anything. We are not doing anything. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to realize that this is our taklif? When are we going to seriously take it on board? When are we going to stop condemning people of the past for the thing that we are doing right now? Honestly, we're doing the same thing. We're doing the exact same thing. The people after Karbala didn't care anymore. Some, out of emotions, just went out there and said, oh, we did wrong, let's go do something. Tawwabun, 4,000 people, they all got slaughtered, wasted their blood. It's out of emotions. If they're working with their mind and their heart, they should have joined Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. You didn't. Now you came out emotionally, no effect. You wasted your blood. Besides that, what happened? Oh, nobody's concerned. Not concerned, just get on with life, business. Do my prayer, go for Hajj. Do my dua, do this, do that. I'm fine. Imam Zain al-Abidin is not fine. Imam Zain al-Abidin did not waste one day upon arrival in Medina. He's the Imam. He's leading the Ummah. He didn't waste one day. He didn't rest one day. The Imams never rested one day. In the sense of not being occupied, their minds and their work. Never took a break from this. We're on constant vacation though. We're not working on this. Wallah, we're not working on it. I don't know how else to put it. I've said this many times. I will keep saying it. But I don't see us doing it. I don't see us doing it. And I don't see... Sometimes when I say this, I think a lot of us, we think that I'm addressing someone else. I'm addressing myself. Like, what are you doing? You call yourself a sheikh. You're sitting up here on a pulpit. Where? What are you doing? You're just addressing the same people. We're having the same majalis. What change did we bring about? How many people did we bring to the army of the Imam? How many people did I bring? Did I turn people away from the army of the Imam? Because I don't see myself bringing anyone to the army of the Imam. We're not doing this. Reminding myself first and foremost. And all of us, let's all think and all apologize to the 12th Imam. As he's working on this. It's because of him that we have these youngsters willing to fight for him, give up their lives, give up being with their spouses, give up being with their children, their spouses. Understand what they're doing. They are pleased with their husbands going and fighting. They're willing. They push their husbands to go and fight for the 12th Imam. Knowing that they may not come back next time. And this child will be their child to raise without his or her father. The Imam of our time has made. You can see all these people that have come to the army of the Imam. They're doing that great work. The Imam is doing that. I'm looking at myself. I'm ashamed. I don't see me bringing anyone to the army of the Imam. Maybe I've turned people away. Al-'ayadu billah, God forbid. All of us need to think of this. And all of us, first individually, need to take this as a responsibility. Understand it's a responsibility. Once we really understand it as a responsibility, then we won't be waiting for this person or that person to see if they're going to do anything, they're not going to do anything. Like if nobody else does anything, I understand this is a responsibility and this is the extent that I can work on it, I'll start working on it. InshaAllah, Allah will give barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person sincerely works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives barakah. Allah gives barakah. Allah increases the effect of their actions, their words, their writings, their poetry. Some of the poetry that's out there, it's the art of a person. They wrote that poetry. There's one poem that was written by a brother in the Islamic Republic when the Syrian conflict had just begun. And one of the Noha reciters, he recited this. Manam bayat biram. Some of you may have heard this. What sincerity did this person have? That one line of poetry convinced so many people to join the army of the Imam in Syria, leave their hometown, leave their spouse and child, go to Syria in a foreign land based on our standards, and fight for the Imam over time. One poem. The voice of one reciter. You have sincerity, that recitation causes God knows how many hundreds or perhaps thousands of people who read that line that I need to go to and my head needs to go. They repeated it until they went and they had it. Perhaps Muhsin Hujaji was one of the ones who heard that line and went and he gave his head for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, that great shaheed. Don't wait for anyone else. We can't wait for anyone else. None of us can wait. None of us have a justification, an excuse to wait for anyone else. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعُ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولُ The hadith says, every single one of you is responsible for yourself. Doesn't matter if I do. I may be a corrupt shaykh, one of those corrupt ulama that's there. The imam may cut this head, the first of the ulama that he severs the head of because they create so much corruption in this world, maybe the head of this shaykh right here. You can't wait on this person. You can't wait on anyone. We've got to understand this is our responsibility. Imam Zain al-Abidin trained one Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. The whole of Afghanistan and Iran, that Khurasan area, that is shared between those areas, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Iran, that whole region called for the government of the Ahlul Bayt. At the time, Imam Sadiq, they kept coming. You've heard the ahadith. They came from Khurasan. They said, oh, there's 100,000 people willing to pull out swords for you, supporting you. To an extent, they were right. They were honest about that. They weren't making up that figure. But Imam al-Sadiq respond back to them saying, you're not ready the way I need you to be ready. It's basically what the imams... Where did they get this idea to come to Medina or to Kufa in the couple of years that the imam was in exile in Kufa to come and tell him you have 100,000 swordsmen ready to join your army? Where'd they get that idea from? One person. Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. One person. If there's one Abu Khalid al-Kabuli amongst us, brothers and sisters, one Abu Khalid al-Kabuli, the Imam built an army in that way, trained a few people, but the highest in my research and understanding is Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. What he accomplished, no one else accomplished from the companions of Imam Zain al-Abidin. He worked out of all the students he had, and he had a few, he had a number. The one that was able to accomplish this is Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. One Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. Where is our Abu Khalid al-Kabuli? Where is a person that, one person that's not waiting for anyone else, starts working on this? And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us stop wasting time, to help us stop worrying about everything in life except for what's most important. While the imam is engaged in this, while the imam is busy with this work, I'm not involved with it at all. I don't even understand what this work is. I've just gone and listened to lectures. That's all I've done. I thought, oh, if I do that and if I beat my chest, I've done my taklif to the imam. No, that's not our taklif to the imam. The imam doesn't need us to beat our chest. We beat our chest because that causes our emotions to connect with the imam and to purify this, hopefully by shaking that heart with the beating of the chest, the filth falls, and maybe we'll start joining the imam, start working for the imam, doing what he wants. We're like, yeah, when the imam comes, What do we mean by that? Yes, some, when the imam comes, we have this illusion. There needs some soldiers with a sword or something. Somehow I'm going to join that army. There'll never be such a thing. There's an army right now that's working. There's need for an army right now. An ideological army. Build that army for the imam. It's current. It's not for the future. It's right now. It's needed. The imam is working hard on this. We're busy with life, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Muhammad ya Ali ibn al-Husayn. Sallallahu alayki ya Mawla. صلى الله على يا مولاي أيها المظلوم My beloved Imam Zain al-Abidin, I wish I was with you in Medina those days of loneliness, that out of the fear of the government, those who knew you didn't come to say salams to you. Ya يا مظلوم I wish I was there in Medina to be able to join your army. I say this, but O Imam, I should say I'm ashamed of saying that, because this day is the day of building and being part of the army of the Imam of our time. While I say I wish I was there and I could join you, I'm not joining the army of the Imam of my time. Sallallahu alayhi. I want to ask you to forgive me, to accept my repentance, to help me. I hear you have Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah. You have a lot of du'as there. Teach me a du'a that would change me. Where is a du'a, Ya Imam Zainul Abidin, that would cause me to join the army of my Imam? I stop abandoning my Imam. Where is a dua that could help my heart see the Mahdi alone? Where is a dua that could change my heart
that could change my eyes. For me to see the enemies of my Imam are attacking him left and right. The Imam is looking for defenders. Ya Ali ibn al-Husayn, we've heard you trained Abu Khalid al-Kabuli, you trained Abu Hamza al-Thumali, you trained these companions to go bring more people for you. I ask you, can you take me? Can you be my Shafi'? I know Imam al-Hujjah guides people in his occultation. If you intercede, if you teach me, if you bring me to the army of my Imam, inshallah, maybe I can do a little of what Abu Khalid did for you. I wish I was there the time that they poisoned you. I could at least be an assistant to your son, Imam al-Baqir, in those last moments of yours. Perhaps I could hear then your musibah for Imam al-Husayn, when you remembered the day of Ashura, you remembered Imam al-Husayn, you remembered the thirsty tongue of Hussein, you remembered the dry tongue of Hussein, you remembered the bloody throat of Hussein, you remembered the bloody beard of Hussein, you remembered the severed arms of Abbas, you remembered the cut to pieces body of your brother Ali ibn al-Akbar, you remembered your sister Sakina, you remembered the last moments of your father Imam al-Husayn, while you could not stand on your feet to go there and assist him. I'm sure you could see the way your aunt Zainab saw the mal'oon wa shimru jalisun ala sadri. Ya Zainul Abidin, ya Mawla, I beg you to help me. These remembrances cause me to join you, inshallah. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ya Hussain.
ہے تو کے گراں زیب گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر، ہے تو کے گراں زیب گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر سجاد کی لکھی گئی سجاد کی لکھی گئی ہے اشکوں سے تقدیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ماں بہن پھوپھی ساتھ ہیں بے مکاں ہو چادر ماں بہن پھوپھی ساتھ ہیں بے مکاں ہو چادر بیمار بنا جاتا ہے بیمار بنا جاتا ہے خود درد کی تسلیم ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر زنجیروں میں جکڑے ہوئے زندہ میں کھڑے ہیں زنجیروں میں جکڑے ہوئے زندہ میں کھڑے ہیں اور ہاتھوں پہ سجاد کے اور ہاتھوں پہ سجاد کے ہے لاشائے حمشی ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر خود رونے لگے پھوٹ کے جہ پاؤں کے چھالے عالم مصائب کی لکھی سہران تحریر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر بیمار کے چل چل کے قدم سوج گئے تھے مار کے چل چل کے قدم سوج گئے تھے اس بات سے تنگ اور ہوا ہلکا زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر زنجیر کی جھنکار میں نوحے کی صدا تھی زنجیر کی جھنکار میں نوحے کی صدا تھی مصروف بقا نوحے سے تھی زینب دلگی ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر اس کوفے میں سجاد تھے پابند مسلسل وہ کوفہ جو مولا کی ہوا کرتا تھا جاگی ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر سجاد کی لکھی گئی سجاد کی لکھی گئی ہے اشکوں سے تقدیر ہے توقے گراں سے بے گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر ہے تو کے گرا زیب گلو پاؤں میں زنجیر جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی آل عمران کہاں اور زندان کہاں یہ بہن قید ہوئی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی آل عمران کہاں اور زندان کہاں یہ بہن قید ہوئی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی تو نہ آیا غازی ہم کو پانی نہ ملے تیری خوشبو تو رہے تیرے بازو نہ کٹیں چاہے مشگی زچ دے یہ مگر ہو نہ سکا تیرے بازو ہیں جدا مجھ پہ ہے تشنا لبی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی تو نہ آیا غازی دھوپ میں تو تھا شجر تجھ سے آباد تھا گھر ہے برہنا میرا سر کیا نہیں تجھ کو خبر اے علمدار وفا کس بہن کو با خدا تجھ سے دھارستی بڑی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی آ گئی شام علام لٹ گئے اہل حرام ریت پر جل دینے کے لیے مجھ سے ملنے کے لیے آ گئے بابا علی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی جبر دا سر سے چنی نایا غازی کیا کہوں شیر میرے دیر دا ہم کو لیے یہ مسلمان سارے شہر در شہر گئے حلقت کوفہ کبھی حلقت آتے شام کبھی اور ہم پہ ہنسی تو نہ آیا غازی قبر دا سر سے چینی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی قبر دا سر سے چینی تو نہ آیا غازی قید خانے میں قضا جب سکینہ کو ملی دیکھ کرتے کا کفن بچی دفنائی گئی اس گھڑی نام تیرا نیت نانا دے علی دیکھ میں روتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی قبر دا سر سے چینی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی قبر دا سر سے چینی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی آل عمران کہاں اور زندان کہاں یہ بہن کہ سر سے چینی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی یا حسین یا حسین
صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیک یا خیر خلق اللہ ویا خاتم النبیین وصفوة المرسلین صلی اللہ علیک یا امیر المؤمنین علی ابن ابی طالب وصی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیک یا فاطمہ سیدۃ نساء صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا محمد یا حسن ابن علی ایہا المجتبی صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا عبد اللہ وعلی الارواح التي حلت بفنائک علیک منی سلام اللہ ابدا ما بقیت وبقی اللیل والنہار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.